I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we're talking today about soul freedom, about physical health, about spiritual renewal. I'm so excited to have my friend back on the show, Elisa Keaton. She joins me today to talk about her 8-week journey workbook, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. It's a workbook, and you've heard me say this before. I worked in fitness for a lot of years, and I did some management. I taught all kinds of group fitness classes. I trained and certified instructors. I was very involved. It was a fun part of my life for a long stretch. And I don't know that I've ever seen a more balanced spiritual approach to health and fitness, spiritual wholeness than Elisa's approach. I love this thing. So we've got 5 copies of this workbook to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Also, just want to acknowledge today's a very important day. Of course, it's the National Day of Prayer. So Elisa and I are going to take the first segment of the show today to pray for our nation, our leaders, ask God to move mightily in our midst, but also want you to know that Faith Radio will be streaming the National Day of Prayer live stream. So if you want to go to our website tonight at 7 p.m., you'll find it there, myfaithradio.com. Okay, we'll get Elisa on in just a moment. Quick announcement, though. If you want to honor your mama or a special mentor in your life, we'd love to help you do that. You can go to myfaithradio.com and tell us about your mom or your mentor. We're going to draw a few names for some really fun giveaways. All that info is up on the website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton is a wholehearted pursuer of God's love. I know her, and that's absolutely true. As more than 27 years, as a more than 27 year fitness professional, she felt God leading her to bring fresh meaning to the world of health and fitness. She lives in Phoenix with her husband Simon and their 2 children, Jack and Sophia. As a family, they're on mission to change the world with the kind and courageous love of God. One of my favorite bios, Elisa. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, Susie, it's always just like coming home when I get to talk with you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Of course. So looking forward to the conversation. So you know this, you've been on before. We love to start every day talking scripture, wondering what you've been pondering these days as you spend time with God.
I have been glued to 1 Chronicles 16:11, where it says, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. The strength that is found in his presence. I've just been over and over on that. And I feel like it's an interesting segue. We're talking about the National Day of Prayer. This is God. That's what we do when we pray. We seek his face and strength comes upon us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And there's even another passage in Psalms where it talks about that our fear of God has national implications, that when we rightly fear God, that there is a blessing on our land. And so our own personal walk with God and the way that we regard God impacts our community and our nation. And I know you believe that too. So
yeah,
I'd love to just take this first segment and pray for our nation, different aspects. And so wonder if you would mind just praying, you know, family's been so under attack. Family's, you know, been broken down on so many levels. Would you mind praying for families?
I would be absolutely blessed to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Father, I come before you as a woman who you have intervened for my family in mighty, mighty ways. You are the one, God, who is interested in family. Family is your idea. In the beginning, you wanted family, God, and so you created a man and a woman. And Lord, we thank you for how you have done a redemptive work on the earth and family, how you continue to want to do that. Lord, may we bow our hearts in the roles that we play in our family, Lord, whatever role we think we are to play, God, that we would know what you have called us to as a wife, as a mother, as a husband, as a father. Redefine it, Lord. You need to teach us, and we humbly repent of the ways we have assumed what the marriage should be according to our desires or the desires of our flesh, Lord. Come and do family as you would see fit on the earth.
Come on. Amen and amen. I'm going to pray for military and law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, I just humbly bow before you, and I lift up our military and their families. Their families pay such a price. And I pray, God, mm-hmm. that faith would spread through the military like wildfire, Lord Jesus, that as they put themselves in harm's way, they would come to know the God of angel armies. I pray that they would operate under divine intelligence, that they would hear you say, this is the way, walk in it.
Yeah.
I pray that you'd keep these marriages and families strong of militaries. They pay such a price. And Father, we lift up our law enforcement. Father God, I'm so sorry for what has happened in our midst, Lord God, that a few bad apples have made it so impossible for really good men and women who've put themselves in harm's way for the sake of safety and justice. God, I just repent. I weep over that, God, and I pray, pour out your spirit on our law enforcement, God. Give them divine help, divine encouragement, divine intelligence. And where there is brokenness in the system, where there's burnout, where there's cynicism, where there's bitterness, Lord, where there's racism, deal with it, God.
Yeah.
Bring your
yeah.
refining fire. Bring healing, bring humility, bring redemption. Oh, God in heaven, our law enforcement need more support, not less. So I pray that you'd assign them counselors and pastors and people to help them sort through the trauma that they have been through. And I ask you, God, I pray a revival would spring through our law enforcement and their families in Jesus' name. And Elisa, you could pray for government or education, either of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father, we know that in the beginning you desired to be our king. You desired, God, to be the one. But we said we wanted a king, Lord, and you have been kind to us. You've been merciful to us to put people in places in the earth and on the earth that would help us to reign or help us to rule over creation, God. And we also repent that we have put our trust in these people more than we have you. So, Lord, in your mercy, would you come and rewire this for us, reconnect us back into leadership and government that wants what you want on the earth, or that they have the covering of you as they sit in power in seats of position, Lord. Redo and redesign government in our nation, in every nation, according to your will, God. We know it might seem impossible. We think these things in our flesh, it's impossible, but by your Spirit, God, you can do new things, and you want to do new things. So I declare and ask for revival in our government. Raise up godly men and women to have the voice and speak for those who don't have a voice, Lord. We know that you give us the power so that we can help those who are in need. So give us a revival in government in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. And I pray the same for media, Lord Jesus, in this cancel culture world and this idea of so much censorship, Lord Jesus, and personal agendas and corporate agendas. Father, you miss nothing. You see everything. And Lord, the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. And so I pray, God, may you arise and may your enemies be scattered. I pray some of the most radical voices would be like Saul turned Paul, that they would be ambushed by your love, that they would be undone by your love, be radically saved. And I pray in their positions of influence, there would be a turn of a tide and a shift because they suddenly know the King of the universe. I ask you for a purifying in media. I ask you by the miracle of your working hand that your kingdom principles would be promoted in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said you will cut off the strength of the wicked, increase the power of the godly. Would you do that in our midst? And some are blind and in the darkness, and they don't know what they're stumbling over. So show them and save them. Others know very well. They love the darkness more than light. And I pray for those that they would lose their influence, that you literally would cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly and promote believers in every sphere of influence, humble, God-fearing believers, not celebrity Christianity. That's a thing of the past, and it should be.
Yeah.
But God-fearing, truth-telling, Bible preaching Christians in every sphere. Raise them up, we pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I wonder if you could pray for businesses and nonprofits and ministries, since you run one.
Yes, I'd be delighted to. God, man, we're just so grateful, God, that we could come and ask for all these things in all these areas and that you desire to hear from us, Lord. And so I lift my voice, God, for the organizations, ministries, nonprofits, Lord, that want to do your will, and that we're covered, Lord, to do that by government, that we do have a covering. So, Lord, I pray that there would be a strengthening of the importance and value of ministries and nonprofits, yes, that they would know that they can be courageous in a time where maybe our voices feel shrunk, and that in a cancel culture, if we all don't think alike, we would be canceled. Lord, we declare that void in Jesus' name, that ministries and nonprofits, they can still march into the fire and bring resource and bring counsel, bring the things of heaven to earth, Lord. So continue, Lord, we ask you would make a way, be the lamp to the nonprofit's feet, be a lamp to the church's feet, ministry's feet, Lord, be a lamp that we would not grow weary in a time where it seems to be harder and harder to do this giving back, Lord. We believe that that is your desire, to give away what even the things we desire. So abundance and increase in nonprofits, Lord, according to your will, in That's Jesus' God. Name. Amen.
And finally, Father, we do pray for a great outpouring. Many are interceding for that third great awakening. Would you bring it, your holy fire, your holy spirit? We pray that the many who've been in the valley of the shadow for so long, and the enemy has been relentless, I pray, God, that the breakthroughs would come, that the prodigals would come home, that the marriages would be saved, that bodies would be healed, that the blind would get their sight back, oh God. And that there's so many who, you know, where the hope deferred has made them heart sick. But you say, Lord, that a promise fulfilled is a tree of life. So in the midst of this incredible time, I pray promises would be fulfilled and people would step into new life. And in it, they would find a new boldness to stand strong, to declare that you are the one true God, that we are to live ready for your soon return. Help us to not shrink back, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we pray. We love you, God. We wait for you. Our strength and our hope are in you. Pour out your spirit, Lord. We wait. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Man, sister, I could pray with you all day.
I know. I think we just started something.
Come on, somebody. Somebody's got to give us an amen. We just prayed. We're going to go for our break now. When we come back, it's so great the verse that you opened with, Elisa, because one of the excerpts from your book, you talk about once we've surrendered ourselves to God's strength and power, we organically develop a thirst to maintain unbroken fellowship with Him. I want to talk a little more about that. Talking to Elisa Keaton, her workbook, it's just so fantastic. The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. It's an 8-week journey of getting healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually. She goes after diet. She goes after exercise. She goes after renewing your mind. Boy, I don't think there's a stone she doesn't turn over. So you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute.
It's like the prize, sunrise, waiting on the other side of the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope. Hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She's a fitness professional and a spiritual leader as well. Her book, The Wellness Revelation, it's actually an 8-week workbook, a journey. Lose what weighs you down so you can love God, yourself, and others. We've got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I want to read this excerpt, Elisa, and have you just speak to it. You write in the workbook, once we've surrendered ourselves to God's strength and power, we organically develop a thirst to maintain unbroken fellowship with Him. Because outside forces will try to pull us away from His ways, we will always be in need of His sovereign and loving hand to guide our desires. In other words, this is not a once and done kind of thing. It's you're talking about kind of maintaining a oneness, an intimacy with God. Take it from there.
Yeah. Well, off of that scripture I told you I've just been stuck on is 1 Corinthians 16:11, to seek the Lord and His strength, seek His presence or His face continually. And we also know that in His presence is fullness of joy. And Nehemiah 8:10 says that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. You know, we humans show up with our agendas, our plans, our programs, our steps. And it gives us a sense of control. And we do have a certain amount of strength that we can do that, right? And humans have the ability to choose and then to build something. We've been given this strength, but our strength is more like force. We can push ourselves into doing something. But the strength of God, when we come to know what strength really is, and it's Him, He's eternal strength. He is, always was, and will be. He's never lacking or languishing. We are temporary. We run out of strength. that's where our force can only do so much. But I think it's interesting that even in the garden, God, when he created us and he says, now, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and take dominion. He tells us subdue and dominion, and those are battle terms. Those are actually terms that require us to have a certain amount of strength to take into bondage. The word subdue, take something into bondage. The word dominion is to tread down. That requires a certain amount of strength, but we have that in the presence of God. Apart from God, we can do nothing. We literally Amen. Start to fall apart, and we find ourselves doing the same thing over and over and trying for new results. We were meant for unbroken fellowship for God in the garden. We were meant for unbroken fellowship where we would always have his presence and always have his strength, which is our joy. But, you know, the enemy and comes up and opposition is also needed. The Lord, you know, it's interesting to think that the Lord knew the snake was going to come up and do that. It, the opposition, you know, that tension allows for growth, if you think about it, Susie. The fact that you can grow a muscle on this earth is because there is gravity, there is tension, but it's in we're working against it in opposition of it that we grow. When we give into the tension, which is temptation, we disintegrate. We literally rip ourselves from the presence of God. We choose our own ways, and we know that leads to destruction. So when we start to walk with God more, whether it's our health, our money, our marriage, all the things we just prayed for, we were meant to walk with God in those things day to day, seek nothing outside of his voice, and then collaborate with others in that agreement. When we do that, we were meant to have that unbroken fellowship. And when we do, we know anywhere else is short and it's temporal. It won't last. I live for eternal things. So no matter what happens with our bodies, we can continue to think eternal mindset. I'll take care of this body that I have, do the best I can with it, knowing it's going to break down and get older and fight sickness and disease. But when we have unbroken fellowship, that is a strength that is eternal. And then you go, I'm just going to do that for the rest of my life. May I do that?
Yeah, you know, I had a kind of a revelation recently. I enjoy incredible intimate fellowship with God, and I love my time with him in the morning, and I'm just aware of him all day long. And that's just the truth, and I love that. I'm made for that. I'm an introvert, so the solitude thing is just my my jam, you know. But having this recent resurgence of Lyme and the battle that it's been so incredible and so hard. I was looking at Ephesians 2:8-9 recently. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, as a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. And I looked up that word save, and you already probably know this, but that translates sozo, which means far more than eternal security. It means to restore, to make well, to make whole, to heal, to preserve one in danger, and to rescue and save from judgment. And it just sort of grabbed me, and it occurred to me that even though I walk intimately, I spend all kinds of time in God's word. I think I was doing my best, because I have to do so much discipline-wise to manage Lyme, mold, junk. You know, I have to be super disciplined and focused to stay on top of it. I was doing my best, but I stopped trusting God's best. I was settling, you know, kind of like, this is how it's going to be for me. And when and the Lord whispered to my heart, he says, we live a healthy life by stewardship, but we live a healed life by faith. And it was like a light bulb moment for me. And I thought, you know, of course, as we get older, our bodies do break down to a degree. But the idea that for by grace we are sozoed, I just wonder if some listening today, if hope needs to make a comeback, if there's a certain kind of healing or wholeness that the Lord wants to bring about that you stopped even looking for. You're just managing it in your own strength. It goes back to what you're saying, Elisa, about looking to the Lord and his strength. I mean, what if hope made a comeback and we trusted more in his best than even our best?
I think you just wrote the next Revelation Wellness shirt. Hope's making a comeback. I'm doing it. Someone print the shirt. Hope is making a comeback. Like we can never. You're absolutely right. It's when we're so prone to wander. Lord, we feel it, right? Like even in our best efforts of making, you know, some good decisions and managing the brokenness or the sin or the things that come against us, we can get small-minded where our faith in Christ, our salvation in Christ, who he is, what he's done, hope makes a comeback. Every time I think of the cross, every time I don't ever want to minimize the power of the cross. He died by his wounds. I'm healed by his wounds. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to speak for myself. I don't always live in light and sight of the cross too often. I get busy with my agendas and my schedules and my good plans, but the price he paid on him, the punishment brings me reconciliation, wholeness, and healing. Even if my body does not respond as I had hoped for. But that type of mindset, and we know now as we're learning more neuroscience and mind-body connection, God wired us to be in faith and fellowship with him, even in the presence of opposition, so that we would continue to turn to him, seek his face, find his strength. And I think it's just, this is why it's always circular. This is a wellness continuum that we're never done. He's teaching us more and more on how hope continues to make its comeback. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Next shirt. Amen. I'm going to give you credit.
Come on. All right. Well, I just want a shirt. Just send me one of the shirts and I'd be super happy about that. But you know, the idea that, that we've settled in certain areas, I mean, you can know based on scripture that God wants to restore your soul. And I think we live beneath our spiritual privilege so often, Elisa. Well, yeah. You know, what I'm saying here is based on Ephesians 2:8-9, how it really translates, the gospel is far more reaching. If it were just eternity, security in eternity, that'd be enough, but it's more than that. I mean, this is proof that God cares about the human condition. And so we need to enter in and care about it as well, you know?
Yes, 100%. Yes, another scripture that keeps coming to mind is when Paul says that he did not account equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself to the point of death and death on a cross. I'm like, wow, there's still things in me that need to die, you know. And I do that a lot with clients that come, or people that they're just tired. Their bodies have been broken and against them, or feels like their bodies are against them, feels like they just can't get to a place of rest. And it is this growing in the knowledge of, okay, all right, there, how much of this have we made an idol? How much of this have I lifted up that if God loves me, then I would have this? And I think this death to the things that we really, really want or think we need in order to be well, in order that we can be well. So it's that John 12:24, unless the seed goes in the ground and dies, even the seed of good desires or things we want, unless those things die, we cease. We cannot bear fruit. We cannot multiply. So I often counsel people or just pray with them and encourage them to seek this humility of going that same way of counting, not equality with God. You know, Jesus did not call upon what the Father should do for him, but he emptied himself to this point of death. I think there's just so many things that we still carry around and go, well, if God really loved me, then I would have this by now. If God really loved me, my marriage would be better. If God was really true and faithful, then those if-thens are just, I know for me, that's a trap that I came out of, whether it was for my body or my marriage or all the places. I think instead of asking if, then, we need to go to even if.
Okay.
Even if he doesn't, he's still
going. We're going to pause here. We've got a hard break coming up, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what do we do, the if-thens. How do we lay those down so we can find freedom? We'll be back in a minute.
But it's something good.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to fitness professional and spiritual leader Elisa Keaton. She's the founder of Wellness Revelation, or Revelation Wellness, sorry, but her book is The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. It's an 8-week diet, exercise, spiritual renewal journey, all packed in one workbook. Got 5 copies to give away, 877-933-2484. Just text the word book to that number. If you've got questions on diet, exercise, bring them in. Now's the time. time. Elisa, I know we'll have an answer for your question. We're just talking a little bit about kind of the context of where our affections lie, what kind of idols we have in our tent. Those are some of the things that sort of sabotage our own success when it comes to the health and healing process. And I love this. You said, God meets us where we are, takes us by the hand, and leads us through the fire. His purpose is always that we come out on the other side knowing the depth and power of his love. We begin to reflect a life like the one Christ lived, a holy and whole life, Christ in mind, Christ in heart, Christ in soul, Christ in strength. When we are holy, then we are whole. That's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. So before we start talking tangibles with, you know, diet, exercise, maybe unpack a little bit more what you're saying about, because I think there are lots of people who have disappointment with God who feel like, if only, and these are good things that I want, if only my prodigal, if only my body would cooperate, you know, I try to apply all these healthy things and it backfires. So maybe speak to that. What is that disappointment doing to us and what are we supposed to do with it?
Wow. Well, first of all, that is the next, the book that I'm currently working on right now. I can't give away any title or thing, but it is about metabolizing and processing the disappointment and the hurt and the trouble that we will have in the world, the discomfort, the tension, which we interpret as, you know, the difficulties. It's one thing, we were made for difficulty in life. We were, we knew again, tension would come, but that it, that shows up like in our bodies and our life is stress. But when it's chronic, when anything becomes repetitive, we constantly live in a state of stress. And you know what will stress you out more? Trying to get something that you can't get, like trying to get something that you just can't seem to have. It's like you're constantly on the proverbial tightrope walking it or treadmill that goes faster. That will stress you out so much that then you go, well, how come I still can't get this thing that I want? And all it's doing is in our brains. I know you and I both love a little brain neuro nerd science, that those neural pathways just keep getting stronger and stronger. Well, if I try it again and I try it again, and I see it all the time for people that wanting to lose weight or get stronger or get healthier in whatever ways, and they try it through step A, B, C, but they've never really sat down to go, what drives me? Am I running from my own presence or my own being? Am I not willing to be weak in order to be strong? Am I trying to bypass and be impatient with God and get things faster? I really feel it for the disappointment we get. It's really learning to reframe it, right? James tells us, count it all joy when you have these disappointments, these sufferings, these trials, for they're producing something in you. What if we changed our mindset to see, what is this doing in me? What is this producing in me? Am I, or what do I, what would I like it to do as well? I can either let this disappointment make me more bitter, more calloused, heavy-hearted, depressed, or I can choose to let this disappointment acquaint me with the sufferings of Christ. Again, remember the cross. Remember the cross that he said, it is finished, and I can die to my disappointments. I got to grieve it, right? Grief. I think that's another thing, Susie, a lot. We don't really know how to grieve anymore. For a lot of people, grieving is scrolling, searching. I'll just distract. And we really have to learn how to process what we're feeling, the pains we have, the disappointments, so we can die to it, let it go, that we can receive it, feel it, and then let it go to move into this next place of once we humble ourselves, the scripture tells us that he lifts us up, that we then are lifted to a new state of being, a new knowing that even if I don't have it, I have Christ. And that changes us. Then it's an inside out work. Now I'm not striving for it. I'm working from it. I'm already his. I am already whole in him. I am holy. I'm set apart. That makes me whole. Now, what do holy and whole people do? Kind and courageous things. I should be kind in my mouth. I'm kind in what I put in my mouth. I'm kind with, you know, it's that rewiring of our identity that we can then see our disappointments from a whole nother view, a whole nother perspective.
Boy, somebody needed to hear that today. If that's you, let me know, because I think you're so right. We stress ourselves out. I've done this, and I've been there even recently, of just holding my breath, trying to do everything I can do. And it's like when that revelation came to me that, you know, a healthy life is by stewardship and a healed life is by faith. I mean, our stewardship, of course, should be by faith. But I'm saying, you know, you can't earn something that's a spiritual gift. And the spiritual gift is that deep holiness, the deep soul healing, a redemption of your story. And you can't buy that. You can't jump high enough for it. And, you know, passage in the story in scripture in the Gospels, when that man had been on the mat for 38 years and Jesus says, do you want to be well? And he said, you know, I can't, sir. I've taught on that in Fully Alive about, you know, that we all have these I can'ts, these roadblocks to our healing. But I saw it in a new light this week, because I got to the place where on my best day, I couldn't stop these surges from happening in my body. And it was like, God just let me see that story, because he's like, I can't. And I'm like, I can't. And then he said, right, get your mat, take up, walk, you know, and he was healed as he went, you know. And I think there's something very powerful, just as a person, in, you know, as far as salvation goes, I've tried to be good. I can't do it. That's like, now I got you where I want you. You know, there's something powerful about that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think the Lord is always setting us up for more intimacy. I think he's just saying, okay, I'll use all of this to come closer and to be with you, and that you would know me more. Because the more we know him, the more we know ourselves. The more we live with a kingdom mindset.
Amen, amen, sister. So I ask you this question almost every time you come on, because someone needs the answer. But what do you say to the listener listening today who's out of whack physically and spiritually, and they just don't even know where to start?
Yeah, that's always, I've never gets old to talk this base place of like, where do we begin? I always to ask people to search themselves in their desires of what am I desiring? And I always say I'm big on writing things down, because when you write things down, you can only put that one thought out at one time. Like, we can think, like, thoughts can seem very, you know, jumpy and going everywhere. But when we have to write something out, we're having a single thought in that moment. So just, even if you're just writing out, like, I want a 6-pack abs. I want to not jiggle when I walk or run or whatever it is. Go ahead and write it all down. Let it go, because it's rumbling around inside of you, probably causing some confusion and disappointment. So once that's written down, those are desires, and there's nothing wrong with having a desire, but what God wants for us, what does God want for me? So the next question I often ask people to ask themselves is, if all those things being, you know, excused, what would I want health to be for me? What, if I could define health in terms of a healthy and whole mindset, not 6-pack abs, not something temporal, but something that would be, could stay with me and last, what would those qualities be? And just to list those out, a lot of people would, often it's there, they come to places like, I would like good energy. I would like to be less impatient with my kids. I would like to sleep better. And those type of things, I will tell you, those can be found in this encouragement and strength of faith, building your faith up, being with God in his word, but then walking out through his word. The other thing I encourage people is that you can't, you know, I think we, as we said, we have a lot of information now. We're getting a lot of information. None of us are perishing from lack of access to the Bible. In a first world country, or at least here in America, we all probably have about 6 different versions of the Bible app on our phone. Or we have scripture. We have all kinds of information about scripture. We can read scripture. And it's not for a lack of information, but we have a lack of processing it. We don't know how to process that knowledge. So when someone comes and says, you know, what they want, writes it down, and I say, okay, now let's go for a walk. Or walk, this is why we have our podcast called Revving the Word episodes, where you walk and you're hearing scripture and you're hearing God's, you know, word over you while these desires are kind of getting uprooted inside of you. They truly do. And people find they get a whole new mindset for their bodies and for, it's this come taste and see thing. So instead of, you know, slapping a Jesus bumper sticker on top of it. Now I do Christian aerobics. We really have to go, I'm seeking Christ, and I'm going to go seek him as I walk. I'm seeking Christ, and I'm going to seek him as I do a little bit of uncomfortable strength training. I want to talk and walk with him. That will reframe everyone. I have our testimonies over and over for people that encounter our ministry is they never knew that this is what fitness could be. They never knew. They thought it was just another calorie count, another program, another, you know, food journal. No, those are helpful, but those are secondary to us. We want to get after the desires of your heart, because delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, it says in Psalms. And that's all we do. And so once people get honest about what they have wanted that's been disappointing, that they've desired, okay, what could we turn the page? New script. Now let's go move our bodies and work that out. He does it every time he shows up.
Beautiful. That's amazing. And it's the difference between singing a nice Christian song because you've switched over from the bar tunes to the Christian song to worshiping the God of the universe, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, worshiping and putting our focus and attention on him is different than singing along with a good Christian song. And the idea, I love that, going, well, now I'm going to do Christian aerobics versus I'm going to seek God and let everything that had breath, you know, praise
Amen.
The living God. Yeah. And live and move. Wow. I love that so much. That's just beautiful. And I'm sure as people do that, I mean, I love that you get it out of them first, because all of that disappointment, if you don't sort it through, it condemns you. Like, you know, because you feel like as if that's the brass, the gold standard, I should say, and you never take it out and go, this actually isn't a good standard. It will condemn you repeatedly, won't it?
100%. Yep, exactly. And I always go, this is why I think we're so busy now. Like I said, we don't know what to do with our disappointments, that instead of just, okay, let me drop them here. Let me look at them for what they are. May not be afraid. Then God can take those and make those beauty from the ashes. We just have to make the time. That's what we train. This is why we train.
Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back, I want you to give me maybe your top 10 favorite foods. And I know everybody's food issues are all different. Everybody has different needs, but just overall commonly, you know, like if you were to paint with more of a broad stroke brush, some of maybe your top 10 favorite foods and then a few basic exercises that anybody can do. Can we talk about that?
Awesome. 100%. Would love to.
All right. Talking about to fitness professional and spiritual leader, Alisa Keaton. And boy, she's the founder of Revelation Wellness. Check it out. I mean, it's interesting how women who were never even in fitness are now becoming fitness instructors in this program. And then they bring classes to their church, which is really cool. The Wellness Revelation is her 8-week journey workbook. Lose what weighs you down so you can love God, yourself, and others. Maybe you've got questions. You can text those in. If you want in on the drawing, that has to be a separate text just with the word book. 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Alisa Keaton. She is the founder of Revelation Wellness, and we've got her 8-week journey workbook here to give away today, The Wellness Revelation. Lose what weighs you down so you can love God, yourself, and others. To me, this is a comprehensive, healthy, fitness, spiritual workbook. It's going to address your thought life, how you eat, how you exercise, what you think about yourself, and what you say about yourself. Got 5 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. So here we go. Give me your top 10 favorite foods.
Oh boy, here we go. Top 10. Okay, let me frame this as I have learned through the years, or what I'm doing now, I think of eating more for my brain than my body. And I know that sounds a little crazy, everyone, but our bodies are going to be fueled by what is going on in our brain. So if I can think well and feel well, then my body is going to respond from that place. So the body talks to the brain and the brain talks to the body. So I feel like there's always a lot of things we can eat. You know, there's always a continuous list of eat this, don't eat that in terms of weight loss or changing your body or blood type or things like that. But I've just been in this place because I'm seeking his face. I want to seek his strength continually. That means I need a renewed mind. I want my mind really sharp so that my body can then come in line. So some of the best foods that I've really embraced recently in the last few years have been the foods that are good for your brain. A big one is avocados. We've all heard that before, and avocados are a great mixture. You can use them for other things. I mean, they're now making, I was at the dinner last night where the cheesecake was made from avocado. I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah. So avocados are just one of those fruits, or I guess it's a fruit because it has a seed, that has such good healthy fats for you, and that's good for the brain. A lot of the healthier fats. Salmon is another healthy fish I love and go to a lot. Your nuts, like walnuts. Even the fact that a walnut looks like a brain, if you think about it, sometimes nature leaves little clues for us. So yeah, it looks like a little brain. So walnuts are great. Actually, been like, so you eat a handful of walnuts before you're, you know, about to study or focus. There's been some little studies done saying people had better focus. I mean, anything green, always best. The phytonutrients that comes from green vegetables. Kale is one that I used to not like kale, but I've learned a little side hack. If you find kale to be too hard when you chew and like, which tires your jaw out, take some kale, put it in a pot with a little bit of boiling, like maybe a half a cup of boiling chicken broth. And then get it to a boil and put the kale in and let it just saute in the chicken broth for like 5 minutes. It'll soften it up and it's so good. It's one of my favorite things to do now. So I'll just throw that on the side of my lunch plate. I also am a big lover of sunflower seeds, nuts. I just do a lot of seeds and nuts. I think it's a good grab, easy go. As well as eggs. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I probably could keep the egg industry in business. So many eggs.
I love eggs too. They got a bad rap for a while, but they're really saying these are so important. Neurological health and everything, you know?
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have eggs for breakfast. Sometimes I'll have eggs again for dinner. I'll put an egg on my, you know, salad at lunch. I don't overdo anything. I just listen to what my body feels best with. And I would encourage anyone who's feeling stuck, feeling low energy, feeling sore in your body, these types of brain foods, they will fight inflammation too as well, whether it's inflammation on the brain or inflammation in the body. So those are a few ones. I think I've probably kept out some other things. I can't remember off the top of my head, but gluten-free. I am a gluten-free girl right now. I don't think everyone has to be. I think everyone just needs to pay attention. How do I feel when I eat gluten? So I do eat breads and grains, but they're not like my go-to all the time have to have. It's more of like this, more of the good fats that come in these various foods that I've listed out.
So how do you do your eggs? I have a gluten-free toast that I'll have with my egg once in a while, and then I'll throw a little avocado on the side. But what do you like to do with your eggs?
I am a true blue soft scramble girl.
Nice.
Not very. All right. It's pretty boring. I know.
No, I like those too.
I see all these fancy over easies and what's the one that a poached egg? I do love a poached egg, but it takes so long to do for me. So I just soft scramble those things up, put some salt and pepper, a little bit of chili sauce or something on it, and I'm in heaven.
What do you think of, you know, I know corn is kind of controversial as far as people with mold issues or inflammatory issues, but like an organic blue corn chip with hummus. What do you think of something like that?
Yeah, you know, I think, again, people need to pay attention to how it makes them feel. I really think maybe some people, it just doesn't work or it doesn't agree with their guts in some ways. And some, it's fine. I personally am fine with it. I can do corn to an extent. But, yeah, I think anytime we can shop organic, you guys, and anything. I know I just listed out a bunch of foods that you're like, well, those are expensive. Look for your local Aldis. Look for local Aldis in your area, and also farmer co-ops. The local farmer market co-ops. There are people that you can just invest in that and have baskets literally delivered to your door. Don't believe the lie that it's too expensive or too hard for you. I think God honors just taking a little. Maybe it's okay. I'm going to eat kale this week. I'm going to invest in some kale this week. And the truth is we get more nourishment out of these types of foods, more sustenance, more satiation from these types of foods than we do from the quick come and go drive-by foods.
We have Dr. Troy. He's a functional med doc on once a month. And one of the things he says is women who carry a lot of weight in their hips most always have estrogen dominance, where they're carrying toxic levels of estrogen. And one of the answers to that is broccoli, like big piles of broccoli helps your body break down toxic estrogen. What do you feel about broccoli?
No, I love broccoli. I'm a go green all day long. If it's green, I just say can't try it. Try it. Give it a try.
What about chicken?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chicken, a fish, you know, and honestly, if I was truly like my flesh cries out for red meat, but I also know if I eat too much of it, it's not beneficial for my digestive system after a couple of days. So I limit the red meat. But yes, chicken and salmon, fish, I think I could, if I had to pick one, I think I could do fish. Like fish really is my happy place. Mm.
I have to learn to like it because it makes me gag. But my hubby loves fish, and he's so deprived because I'm like, you got to teach me to love salmon because I know
texture,
it's so good for
right?
you.
Yeah, the texture.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. And the smell. Like, I smell tuna, and I literally throw up in my mouth. It smells so bad. I don't know what it is. I must have a fish gene in me that I don't know. But I'm determined. After talking to you, I'm going to figure out a salmon recipe.
Yes.
Friends, if you have one,
so
text me one. If you can find a really good way for a gluten, dairy-free salmon, let me know. Okay, how about, we just got a couple minutes left, but what are some of your favorite exercises?
Okay, favorite exercise, everyone. And I'm not doing this to just do a little personal shout-out, but honestly, if you're going to get going, go for a walk. Go for a walk. And if you feel like, I would say go for a walk in silence. See if you can just go with no phone. I know that sounds crazy, but go for a walk just simply and take in the environment that you're in and around. But we do have a podcast, and in those podcasts, we have episodes called Revving the Word, where you just put on some scripture, move your body, and walk. You know, there's the benefit of people who exercise aerobically, meaning get your heart rate up and hold it there, benefit in their hippocampus, so their brain is larger, and the hippocampus is responsible for creating taking short-term memories into long-term memories, transferring those and imprinting it. Yeah, so this is why if you move your body and listen to scripture, which we do in our podcast, your like hippocampus is getting this short term of hearing a scripture. It becomes more long term. You're building that part of your brain so that you remember things more as you're moving your body. So I just think people just get your heart rate up, just do whatever it is, just go for a walk, ride your bike, roller skate, whatever. I think that is the baseline. I know it's the baseline. It's personal trainer. I would not have someone come into the gym on their first day after assessing them and getting a baseline of them. I would not put them on a squat rack. I would not put them on a leg press. I would say, let's get on a treadmill and let's walk. And as they're walking, I would be assessing their posture, assessing their breathing. You know, they don't know I'm doing it, but I'm doing it to see how are they just under this endurance and stress of moving their own body. And once you build there and go over time and you get better and better, my favorite way to move, I love all kinds of movement. There's nothing I won't try. I will try any type of exercise where I'm using my body in different ways. So explore, have fun, begin with the basics, move in your body, steady tempo, 20, 30 minutes, 5-6 days a week. And then start
You'll
to explore
so
more
different.
Strength training and other things.
Yeah. We're made for movement, and it takes energy to make energy. So once you start to engage, you'll actually, it's better than a cup of coffee, that is for sure.
Amen.
And
100%.
Renee Salazar, God bless you, Renee. Salmon with mango salsa on top of pineapple.
Woo!
On top with pineapple salsa. Mango or pineapple salsa. All right, girl, I'm going to try that. We look forward to having you back. Linda wrote in, and we're not going to have time to answer it, but she wanted specific tips for bone health, especially after menopause. So, Linda, we're going to get that one next time Melissa comes back on. But we sure love you, friend, and thank you for giving us your time today.
Susie, always, always an honor. Bless you. Thank you.
Bless you for all you do. Check out her podcast. I'm going to put it in my ear. I'm going to hop on my bike. Her book, The Wellness Revelation, we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit. You can just text the word book to 877-933-2484, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.